is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to talk about the process of moving from a democratic nation, a democratic republic, and a transition to an open dictatorship. And we are here in the United States of America, as well as many other nations on planet Earth, we are in the process of rapidly losing our freedoms, such as freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of the press and all the other freedoms that made America unique and different than the other nations. I mean, there's a quantum leap of difference between America and the nations in the European Union. I remember speaking at a large church in Paris, France, a number of years ago. There were about 25,000 people that I was speaking to in a Christian church in the center of Paris. And I remember as I was walking the streets of Paris and being in the French airport and then in the British airport and speaking to both French people and people from the nation of Great Britain, I made a casual appraisal of the difference between their personalities and, let's say, your typical American personality. And if you're in the European Union or Great Britain, please don't be offended regarding what I'm about to say. But it was my observation that in the European nations, and I would include France and Great Britain in that category, there was a general softness among the public that does not exist in America for the most part. Now, I'm not saying America is a better or superior nation. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that what I believe I was observing was the product of social engineering that has been going on in the European Union and Great Britain and France, etc., for decades longer than it has been going on in the United States of America. So what I mean by that is the conditioning process, the psychological conditioning process that the citizens of those nations have gone through. They've been shaped and molded and sculpted to behave, to think, to act, and to be in certain ways. And it is reflected in the way they carry their physical bodies. It is reflected in their facial countenance. It's reflected in their attitudes. And what you notice, what you observe, is a kind of surrender. It's a quiet surrender to authority. And I think that comes from when you live in a nation where that nation is run by an authority, like a supreme authority, or we could say a soft totalitarian state, the way you survive is you learn to mold and shape yourself in order to negotiate for yourself whatever freedom you can have. So you become, in order to fit in order to survive, you develop the skill set of becoming passive and compliant in the face of a soft totalitarian government. Now, here we are in America, and the only difference that I see between America and the European Union and Great Britain and France, the primary difference that I see is that America is following now in the same footsteps as Great Britain, France, and the European Union. The only difference is that America is maybe, because everything keeps changing. Once the internet took off, once social media took off, you know, timetables have massively accelerated. What used to take 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years to happen in terms of social transformation now happens at a far faster rate because of social media and the internet. So in America, we are following very closely after the footsteps of Great Britain, the European Union, and France. And again, this is not meant as a put-down. This is meant simply as an observation. The people that I was spending time with who were Christians in France, the one thing that I noticed about them immediately, I mean, they were, you know, great people. They loved the Lord. They were decent people. They were intelligent people. They probably knew more about the history of their nations than the people of America know about our nation. But there was this ever-present acquiescence, this ever-present softening of the personality in order to get along with the state or Big Brother or a soft totalitarian state or whatever you want to call it. Now, where does that come from? Well, you'll never know that. Most Americans that you talk to really have no idea at all regarding what I'm talking about. They're completely clueless and completely oblivious because they have not studied for themselves and because they haven't probed and asked questions for themselves, and they're not aware, they don't have a self-awareness of how they are self-censoring their words, how they are self-modifying their behavior in order to survive and get along. And that requires a self-generated compliance and a self-generated passivity. So what I observed in Europe, I'm now seeing happen in America at a far accelerated rate. Now, the only difference is that here in America, we still have the memory. We still have what you could call an implantable memory from decades past, from social interactions that go back, you know, 50 years, 60 years, whatever our parents or grandparents deposited into us as time went on. We still carry the collective memory of all that. And if you trace it to its roots, there was a time in America where the average American firmly believed and was firmly committed to, quote, the American way of life. And the average American knew full well what his or her rights were, such as freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, so on and so forth. And the average American was aware of these things, And I remember being a kid, and probably many of you, depending upon your age category, probably many of you remember when you were kids, and you would openly boast that we, quote, Americans, we live in a free nation. We used to say that all the time. And probably, depending upon your age, you used to say that all the time. This is a free country. I mean, that was said constantly when I was a kid. This is a free country. If anyone dared to try to control your speech or your thinking or your beliefs, you would retort with a kind of punch to it. I'm not talking about a physical punch, but a kind of psychological punch. You would reply, this is a free country. You know, we have freedom of speech. And you knew that you had that, at least in theory, and you would stand on it. And you wouldn't back down from it. Because you knew that from being taught in school and the media and so on and so forth. Well, now many decades have gone by, and you no longer hear that being echoed in the conversation of young people, young adults, or whoever. They no longer say with a certain amount of defiance, this is a free country. I have freedom of speech, or freedom of religion, or freedom of press. That is no longer said with a kind of pride and a kind of edge to it. Now, when I visited France and Great Britain and the European Union, they never said stuff like that with a kind of edge to it. They never said words like, this is a free country. Or, I have freedom of speech. Those words were never uttered. And the reason they were never uttered was because it was never a substantial reality for them. And what reality am I talking about? I'm talking about the reality that when you go back to the origins of modern Great Britain, the origins of France, the origins of the European Union. The fundamental difference between those nations and America goes right back to the American Bill of Rights, the American Constitution, versus these other nations, which never had the equivalent of an American Bill of Rights, a constitution, and all these freedoms, like freedom of speech, etc. These other nations never had that, so they never verbally declare it out of their culture. Instead, they acquiesce, they're compliant. They don't even realize it, but they function and act on a social level with a kind of subservience, a kind of serf mentality that I don't even, maybe they would be annoyed, or maybe you're annoyed if you're listening to me and you're in one of those countries. I'm giving you my observation externally. I'm not saying it's 100% accurate. It's just an external observation. In any case, that observation has faded somewhat because America has now become just like these other nations, like Great Britain, like France, like the European Union. America has now gone through the decades of social engineering, and America has now gone through the decades of the socialism process, the social engineering socialism process. And in that socialism process, there is the inevitable polishing away of the human personality, where you no longer self-authoritatively stand with a kind of pride regarding your freedom of speech and your freedom of the press and your rights, etc. Those things have been targeted for decades. They have diminished over the decades, and they have been softened and blurred over the decades. So where am I going with this? Where I'm going with this is you need to be ready to take the next step, because this progression that we are on, and it is a progression, we don't live in a static system. We don't live in a frozen system. We live in not a delusionary system of progress. This whole idea of progress, which came out of the philosophical ideas birthed in France and the French philosophers and humanistic thinking, they very much believed in the illusion of progress, that mankind was progressing, evolving, and that society was progressing and evolving. But I would say to you emphatically that that is a total illusion and a total lie. Mankind is not progressing. I mean, just open your eyes, for crying out loud. Mankind is not progressing, and society is not progressing. So the socialist dream is an illusion. So what you see around you now in America, this notion of progressing is delusionary. It's not happening. It never happened. And so America is now conforming and becoming a full-blown, socially engineered nation like Great Britain, like France and the European Union, where the external social engineering is turned way up like it is in Great Britain and France and the European Union. And the people are herded together into a kind of accelerated group thing. The people are herded together in a kind of accelerated mass mind, hive mind, world brain. And then we ask ourselves the question, well, what's the next step? Well, it certainly isn't progress. That's a delusion. The next step is, you know, even as I said the words to you, the next step, I immediately thought in the back of my mind about the term lockstep. And when you march in lockstep, you're supposed to follow immediately behind the person in front of you. So you're like marching in lockstep, like an army. You've seen these pictures of the militaries of the world marching in lockstep. They're marching one right after another. And it looks almost robotic and machine-like. So we are in lockstep due to the pandemic, but we're also in lockstep due to the overall social engineering process that's been going. So we're in a situation of mass lockstep. And where are we going? We are following the plan where we are participating in the implementation of the plan. Whose plan? Well, in case you're not aware of it, since before you were born in America and many other nations, but let's just talk about America for a minute. Since before you were born, you were marching in lockstep according to the plan. Now, what is the plan? Well, generally speaking, the globalist elite, the wealthiest and richest and most powerful individuals and international banking families that rule the world,
They have a secret plan. You can dismiss that as a conspiracy theory, or you can wake up and smell the coffee and recognize that it is a reality. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not a theory at all. It's a provable, tangible reality. The people that rule the world, the wealthiest and most powerful international banking families in the world, the globalist elite, they rule the world. And they have a secret plan for America and other nations. That secret plan, or what is known commonly in their circles as the plan, was developed by powerful groups such as the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the Council on Foreign Relations, and other groups. And if you take it a step or two deeper than that, in terms of a more precise and specific nature, the plan is actually an occultic plan. It was developed by famous occultists, famous occult teachers like Madame Blavatsky, one of the originators of the Theosophical Society. And it's the ideas of Madame Blavatsky and the people that she trained, like Alice Bailey and others. They were all members of these secret occult societies. And Blavatsky and Bailey and some other ones, they received supernatural guidance by channeling ancient Tibetan spirit guides, and the allegory has been that among the globalist elite, among the quote ascended masters, among the illumined ones, the people that really rule planet Earth because of their mystical powers and higher consciousness, the ascended ones, also known as the secret chiefs, also known as the Great White Brotherhood, they were in supernatural clairvoyant communication with Madame Blavatsky and Alice Bailey. And so these spirit guides would channel supernatural information, guidance, planning on how to create a new world order, planning on how to develop a futuristic world ruled by occult powers. And when you read, like when you dig into the United Nations website, you will read about the teachings of Madame Blavatsky, about the teachings of Barbara Marx Hubbard, about the teachings of Alice Bailey, and all of their association with the ascended masters and spirit guides who supposedly rule from the highest, rule the world supernaturally through the highest mountains and temples in ancient Tibet. And when you dig through the United Nations, the pages of material that they have, you can read the quotes from Madame Blavatsky and Alice Bailey. And when you study, for example, the scientific theories, and I thought this was really quite fascinating, when you study the scientific theories of people like Nikola Tesla, who invented scalar energy, where he could create very inexpensive technology that enabled him to tap into the etheric dimension, or a dimension known as the ether. And he could pull from this other dimension, also known as the ether, he could pull out of that dimension an infinite and unlimited source of power. And so if it was allowed to be implemented, which it has not been allowed to be implemented, Nikola Tesla's energy system has the capacity to pull out of the dimension known as the ether an unlimited source of power and energy. So when you read the United Nations documentation and the United Nations history, and you read statements that Blavatsky and the Ascended Masters are making, I mean, it literally reads word for word like the science, the physics, the engineering, the scalar technology of Nikola Tesla. So however Nikola Tesla was accessing his interdimensional physics and science, etc., whatever process he was using to supernaturally access that, the enlightened masters like Madame Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and others who were in secret areas of the United Nations, they got their supernatural information from the same places that Nikola Tesla got his. So, where does that take us? Where it takes us is that they called Madame Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, all these ascended masters, they call their occult master plan for a new world order or a great global reset, they call that, they define that as, quote, the plan. And they refer to it as the plan. So everything that is being done through the United Nations up to the present moment is referred to as the plan. And everything they're trying to implement is referred to as the plan. And when they talk about the plan, it refers to a mystical, ancient, occultic plan where mankind, where men and women will be as gods, and they will rule and reign planet Earth based on Luciferian principles, because they are Luciferians. And so this global reset is an extension of the plan, and it is built and based on these Luciferian principles. And our whole world right now is in systematic, pre-planned, socially engineered upheaval, also known as chaos. And the ascended masters are accelerating and socially engineering the chaos faster and faster until it reaches a breaking point, so they can slam dunk and bring in their new world order or their great reset. And this occultic principle, you know it and I know it as order out of chaos or new world order. Once again, you just look at the back of a U.S. dollar and you see the occultic pyramid with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer towards the top of the pyramid. And then on the base of the pyramid, you'll see the words in Latin, Nuvos Order Seclorum, which means New Order of the Ages or New World Order. And so these occultists are unified by supernatural occult powers, and their goal is to create what the Satanist Aleister Crowley called the New Aeon, A-E-O-N. And the New Aeon refers to a new era for mankind, a new Luciferian occultic era for mankind. And Crowley just named it the New Aeon. And then this occult message, this occult doctrine, this Luciferian doctrine, it goes all the way back to the 1600s in both America, France, and Great Britain. And what's interesting about it is that two of the most respected men in the world, Sir Francis Bacon and Sir John Dee, who were both the scientific, geopolitical, and occult advisors to Queen Elizabeth of England, they learned how to communicate with the fallen angels, and they learned how to communicate in the language of the fallen angels, the same fallen angels referred to in the Book of Enoch. And so Sir Francis Bacon and Sir John Dee learned how to become fluent in speaking the Enochian language, which is the Enochian fallen angel language. And both of these men were very high-level scientists, physicists, biologists, and chemists. In fact, Sir Francis Bacon was known as the father of the scientific method. And when they were communicating with the Enochian angels, the fallen angels, these Enochian angels were telling them that it was urgent that they communicate with the heads of the British Empire, that it was urgent that they communicated with Queen Elizabeth of England, and that they implore the British Empire and the Queen of England, that they were to implore them to actively conquer and actively infiltrate the United States of America in order to expand the British Empire. And so what you have here, this is very important, what you have here is Sir Francis Bacon, Sir John Dee, being communicated to by the Enochian fallen angels, who were instructing them to tell the heads of the British Empire and the Queen of England that they needed to actively infiltrate the founding of America and, in a sense, conquer America. And so Sir Francis Bacon would point to the symbol of the legendary phoenix bird on the back of the U.S. dollar. The phoenix bird is a legendary occult symbol of a legendary bird which represents the New World Order, but it bursts into flames, it gets burnt up, and then the symbol of the phoenix, which represents the New World Order, comes back to life again. And then this is symbolic of the burning up of the old order, the birth of the New World Order. And so it's an occultic prophecy that America will burst into flames like the phoenix. It will be destroyed in flames,
and then it will supernaturally be brought back into life. And they even speculated very seriously that America could have possibly have been the nation of Atlantis, a highly sophisticated, highly futuristic super civilization that was destroyed in the Great Flood. So that was one of the driving forces causing Queen Elizabeth and the British Empire to infiltrate the Americas, is because they believed that the Americas could well have been Atlantis, and it was destined to become the New World Order. That's why you have on the base of the pyramid the words Nuvos Ordo Seclorum, which means New Order of the Ages, or New World Order. So when all the strong Bible-believing pilgrims and Puritans came to America, set up their colonies, etc., they were infiltrated secretly by Sir Francis Bacon, by Sir John Dee, and their very powerful secret occult societies, such as the Rosicrucian Society, the Illuminati, and the Freemasons. And so here you have essentially all these Luciferian secret occult societies that have embedded themselves in the government of America, embedded themselves in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, embedded themselves in the formation of America and the formation of the future of America. And implicit in that was the fact that these Rosicrucians, these Illuminati members, believed that America in the future was destined to become the New World Order, and it was destined to become the New Atlantis. Now, where does that bring us today? The Bible, I don't believe, is definitive, at least from my perspective, about what nation is Babylon. A lot of people think America is Babylon. That would fit very well with Sir Francis Bacon's theory. If America was the head of the New World Order, it would be Babylon. Now, Babylon may also be a one-world system, but Babylon may also be America, which is the head of the New World Order, which means America would be Babylon, and its power would be over all the nations of the earth, a power that is derived from a coming one-world economic system, a one-world government, and a one-world religion, which, as you know, is the goal and game plan of the global reset. The global reset is just a rebranding of the term New World Order. And the global reset is all about the bringing in of a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economic system, which is written about in the book of Revelation. And it's the system that the Antichrist and the false prophet rule and reign over. Now, what's interesting about that is that if America is Babylon, or if America is the head of the new world order, which makes it by default Babylon, and it's the as the head of the new world order, it's the head of every nation on planet Earth, a giant Luciferian one-world government. But along with that goes other things. if you look at the symbolism of Washington, D.C., you see very occultic, Luciferian symbolism put there by the Illuminati, the Rosicrucians, Sir Francis Bacon, Sir John Dee. And remember, these men were being supernaturally guided by the Enochian fallen angels, and in fact were communicating to these fallen angels in the Enochian fallen angel language. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in a moment. You are now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So I want to continue taking a deep dive into the truth of God's Word and analyzing the Enochian fallen angels, their relationship with Sir Francis Bacon, Sir John Dee, the founding of America, the global reset, and where all of this is going now, because that's the big thing. Okay, so where is this going now? Well, in the book of Revelation, it tells us where it's going now. It tells us that ancient Babylon will return again, Mystery Babylon, and that will consist of a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world economic system, along with Mark of the Beast microchip implant, where you can't buy or sell unless you receive the Mark of the Beast. And this is in Bible prophecy. Now, in occult literature, and you have to be wary of occult literature because it's occult literature, but that doesn't mean that everything the occultists say is false and not true. But again, you've got to be very careful. So, for example, let me give you the names of two occultists, Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla. Their theology was really messed up because, whether they admitted it or not, they were Luciferians. But their scientific inventions were valid. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, the phonograph, and many, many other technological inventions. And then Nikola Tesla invented scalar technology, and Nikola Tesla invented AC, alternating current. And Edison invented DC, direct current. So these guys were very sophisticated and advanced scientists, but that doesn't mean everything that they put their hands on was true and accurate. So we look at history. Occult history, of course, the most accurate and our final authority should always be biblical history. So where all of this is going is very interesting, because the global reset is really a replica of the New World Order. And the global reset is all about bringing in a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economic system, which would encompass a DNA chip or a nanochip implant. Now, where it gets really interesting is in the following ways. First of all, Let's go back to Sir Francis Bacon and Sir John Dee. They were getting a supernatural download of information, of military guidance, economic guidance, scientific guidance. They were getting all that advanced knowledge through their communication in the Enochian fallen angel language. So they were getting heavy-duty information and science, etc., from their communication with the Enochian angels. That's very important for the following reasons. Because hand in hand with the accounts of the fallen angels from the beginning of time, whenever you read about the fallen angels descending on earth, whether it's in the Book of Enoch, whether it's in Genesis 6, whether it's in other places in the Bible, the story of Joshua and Caleb, the giants that they were defeating were the product of interspecies breeding between fallen angels and human women. So we see two things whenever the topic or subject of fallen angels comes up. We see, like, for example, in the Book of Enoch, when a fallen angels descend, 200 fallen angels descend upon Mount Hermon, they give to mankind all kinds of advanced technology, advanced science, herbs, nutritional medicines, makeup for women, the utilization of metals. They give mankind a tremendous diversity of science and technology. Now, who gave mankind all of this futuristic and advanced technology? It was the fallen angels. Initially, it was the 200 fallen angels that descended upon Mount Hermon. But in concert with the fact that the fallen angels gave mankind advanced technology, advanced science, you always read an account which goes something like this, that the fallen angels looked upon human women, thought human women were beautiful, and depending upon what you're reading, it will say they took wives for themselves, but it usually says they had sexual relationships with human women. So the narrative that is repetitive is that the fallen angels, in addition to giving science and technology to mankind, they mated with human females who gave birth to a DNA hybrid race, which means the human females gave birth to a race of beings that were genetically no longer human. They were genetically a mixture of human DNA and fallen angel DNA. Therefore, their category genetically was non-human or synthetic humans or synths. So that's the narrative that is repeated over and over again in history. When we read about the fallen angels giving technology and science to mankind, and then the fallen angels mating with human women, producing a non-human species, because their DNA is a mixture of human and non-human. So where does that take us? It takes us exactly to where we are right now in human history. Examine this with me. And I think as you examine this with me, this will blow your mind and give you a tremendous amount of insight into what's really going on planet Earth right now. So let's just play it out a little bit. Again, we're in this new age. There's been a cycle of new ages since the dawn of mankind. So in our age, as in previous ages, you see the repetition of the fallen angels mating with human women
and producing a hybrid species of human and non-human DNA. So a whole new race of beings are produced, and these are non-human beings. They're synthetic beings. And the babies that the human females give birth to are not authentically human. Okay? Very important. Now, what is happening in the world of technology and biology and genetics? Well, we see this repetition again. On one hand, we have in laboratories the manufacturing of what is called synthetic DNA, artificial DNA, and all the synthetic DNA and artificial DNA is made by mankind. It's imitation DNA, and it comes from non-human sources. So it's non-human DNA. Now, as this interbreeding occurs, the human women give birth to a hybrid species of non-human beings with artificial or synthetic DNA. Okay, that's what's happening now. The DNA is either being invented in the laboratory, so it's completely synthetic, you know, like a genetically modified organism, or it is potentially the mating of fallen angels with human women producing synthetic or non-human DNA. Okay, so we see that emerging with the global reset, because part of the component of this coronavirus and the so-called cure for the coronavirus is the manufacturing of a vaccination which allegedly contains non-human DNA or synthetic DNA. And that means any babies made from non-human DNA interacting with human DNA, the outcome is that these are non-human beings that are synthetic with synthetic DNA. Now, let's flip the page and it gets more intense. As we read the plans of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, as we read about the plans of the New World Order, as we read about the plans of the Great Reset, we see that it consists of a necessity of a DNA chip implant. But the DNA chip implant consists of synthetic or non-human DNA. And that is embedded in the vaccination. And theoretically, in the future at some time, and I'm not saying this with a certainty, I'm just telling you what certain scientists are speculating, that when human females or human males mate with either non-human males' DNA or non-human female DNA, the end result will be a synthetic DNA or the hybrid race of non-humans. And so they know that this is going to happen, and this is all part of the global plan to create a one-world economic system, to create a cashless society. It's all part of that plan. And the way the cashless society implements itself is that everyone will have to receive some form of hybrid vaccination with synthetic DNA or non-human DNA. And then due to the fact that the technology by which the DNA chip implant or the nanochip implant is created, that technology is what is called a wireless computer-to-brain technology powered by 5G or 6G. That technology is a wireless nanochip technology which can interact satellite to brain using 5G or 6G. The 5G and 6G is very, very powerful. And part of the ingredients, so to speak, of the vaccination consists of a compound known as graphene oxide, which makes artificial people, because remember, you're artificial once your DNA has gone through the metamorphosis of once being human to non-human. You become a synthetic human being, and because of the high graphene oxide content, you become a powerful broadcaster of information as well as a powerful receiver of electronic information. And that is all connected to a global, worldwide economic system where you can't buy or sell, just like it said in the book of Revelation, you can't buy or sell without receiving the DNA chip implant, or you can't buy or sell without receiving the nanochip implant, which means you have to have non-human or synthetic DNA. So we have two powerful tracks that the human race is on. Both of them, to a large degree, fulfill Bible prophecy. Now, simultaneously with that data, simultaneously with that whole system, which is a transhumanist system. And remember, if somebody is a transhuman, they are no longer human. They're a synthetic human. So, the other aspect of this is that in order to be part of the global economic system, you have to allow your DNA to be reconfigured into a non-human status or a synthetic DNA status. And then along with that, that happens because your human DNA is artificially mixed with non-human DNA, synthetic DNA. And then the very high possibility exists at some point for the creation of what's called novos human, the new man. So where the transhumanists and the global reset ultimately wants to go with all this is novos human, the new man. What they want to do is create an entirely new species of men and women. But this entirely new species of men and women consists of men and women with non-human DNA, or it consists of men and women with synthetic or non-human DNA. Because you're no longer technically human. You're the new man or the new woman, because your DNA is no longer human. Your DNA is no longer anchored or connected to the Creator God, to the Creator God's original template for DNA. Remember in the book of Genesis, it says, And in the image of God, he, God, made them male and female. So in the beginning, in Genesis, God makes men and women, Adam and Eve, in his own image. That means he's using, the creator is using the template of his own design, genetically, DNA-wise. And the God is using his own DNA to make man and make woman. But in the time period that we live in, it's just like the time period when the fallen angels began mating with human women and creating a hybrid race, which means a non-human synthetic DNA race. A hybrid species is being created. Once again, a hybrid species is being created. So what does this mean? Well, we don't know fully what it means. But remember, if you read Bible prophecy, the goal of Satan, the seduction of Satan, is he told Adam and Eve that you can eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden. And then Lucifer lies to Adam and Eve and tells them, in the day that you do that, you will be like gods. But the reality is, you will not be like gods. You will be in rebellion from God. You will participate in Lucifer's and the Antichrist's rebellion or coup d'etat, where Lucifer and the Antichrist will attempt to overthrow the throne room of God. That's where all this is going. And then finally, you have to remember that any being with synthetic DNA, non-human DNA, imitation DNA, that you cannot be saved, your sins cannot be forgiven by faith, and you cannot be born again if your DNA is synthetic or non-human, because salvation is only available to those people whose DNA comes directly from the Creator. Only someone who is authentically 100% human can be born again, have their sins forgiven, and get into heaven. Now, what's the final thing here? Well, the final thing here is this. Most Christians that you meet think that their job in this intense spiritual battle that we're currently in, they mistakenly think that their primary mandate is to basically do nothing until Christ returns. I mean, that's a very widely accepted theological point of view. Unfortunately, that is not what the Bible teaches. So if you believe that your job is to sit around and do nothing until Christ returns, you have bought into false teaching, false prophecy, and false doctrine. Nowhere, absolutely nowhere in the Bible does it tell you that your job before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is to sit in your posterior and do nothing. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Jesus Christ commanded every single person who is authentically born again, and remember, in order to be authentically born again, you have to be 100% human. Jesus Christ commanded all of us who are truly Christians. His commandment to us is that we must occupy until he comes. That means we must be a restraining force against the Luciferian powers. And now, the only way that we can be victorious, the only way that we can be overcomers against the forces of darkness, we can't do that if we're trying to do it on our own strength, energy, or willpower. It's impossible. The only way that we can be victorious, the only way that we can be overcomers and occupy until he comes, is if we use the supernatural power, the supernatural authority, and the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. We have to be clothed with power from on high. The dunamis, the explosive dynamite force of God. So the way we are victorious when we occupy the land spiritually is we have to use the weapons that God has given us that are mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. So when we begin to wage war in the invisible realm using spiritual weapons, when we come together in unity and prayer and worship, what we're doing is we are exercising the biblical law of agreement. And we, when two or more of us agree upon anything on earth, Jesus Christ says that he will do whatever we ask him to do. If we agree on anything in prayer in Jesus' name, then Jesus promises that he will do whatever we ask him to do. So if we ask him to send an army of, 100 million high-ranking angels of God, or to send the power of God, a biblical revival, or a biblical third great awakening, or if we ask God and his power to drive the forces of darkness and the occult off of our land. In fact, if we exercise the blood of Jesus, ask Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, and ask Jesus to forgive us for the sins of America, if we step into that level of prayer, then God will honor that if we pray according to his will. And that means when two or more of us agree on earth as touching anything, we can release the supernatural power of God to such force, the dynamite, the dunamis force of the Holy Spirit, that the inertia of that force will drive the demonic powers out of our nation. You know, I hear an incredible number of people talking in devastating terms about what's going to happen to our nation, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm not saying that I disagree with their assessment or analysis. If you pluck God out of the equation, yeah, the future is going to be a disaster. But if you instead choose to operate in your kingdom authority, in the power of the dunamis, in the power of agreeing prayer, where two or more of us agree, if we wage warfare, spiritual warfare, as God has commanded us to do, we can send the demonic armies back into the lake of fire. We can cause revival and the heavens to be opened. I mean, I'm trying to tell you as directly as I can, that this spiritual battle is not over until it's over, and that as a soldier in the army of the Lord, you don't have the right to surrender, to retreat, or to flee. God has called you to occupy, which means you are to stand your ground, and you are to be victorious. Because it's only when you do that faithfully that we can bring in a last day soul harvest, and that we can occupy until he comes. That means we exercise our supernatural spiritual authority until the second coming of Jesus Christ. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Remember, I need your help. Prayers, finances, donations, contributions, and I need you to spread our message far and wide. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.